No one.
Hello, Gator Nation, and welcome into the latest edition of Locked On Gators, your team every day. I'm your host, Zach Alberverdi. What's up, Florida fans? Welcome into the latest edition of Locked On Gators. A lot of team and recruiting news to discuss on this episode as UF student athletes are starting to make their way back to campus and workouts will resume on June 8th. The Gators also landed some commitments over the past week, as well as the addition of grad transfer Stuart Reese. So I'll be joined on today's episode by Coach Jay to discuss the NCAA and SEC presidents allowing workouts to resume next month, what it means for this Florida football team, as well as the addition of Stuart Reese and how that can improve Florida's offensive line in 2020. And lastly, we will discuss the state of Florida football recruiting and assess UF's 2021 class. Here is my conversation with Coach Jay this week.
We're now joined by Coach Jay to talk of Florida football, something you guys have all been waiting for. We will also discuss some recruiting, the transfers that have been added recently, and the outlook for the 2020 season. Coach Jay, welcome back into Locked On Gators. How's it been going, my friend?
Everything's been good, man. Zach, it's good to be, again, getting ready to talk about football and getting to see everybody get back into the norm, as we should start to say the norm, and get back to life, man.
Florida, here where we are, is moving things along and trying to get back to normal. And the NCAA announced that student athletes are going to be able to return to campus in June for workouts in football and basketball. And you also have the University of Florida coming out since they got the green light from the Board of Governors saying that they plan to have a fall semester. So things are moving towards a football season.
That's a good thing, man. Everybody needs a sense of normalcy, man, and sports is definitely one way to do that. Not to sound insensitive to anybody who caught corona or died from corona, but at this point, the same data that we got that told us, hey, we need to close the country down, that data is now saying we need to open the country back up.
Yeah, and credit to the state of Florida, because they've done a really good job at keeping the numbers down and allowing us to be able to reopen. And now, as far as the football team goes, Coach Jay, and those guys getting back for workouts, let's talk about the groups that we feel good about. And we've highlighted them already kind of previewing the season. But is there some groups that are going to get back for workouts that you're really not too concerned about in terms of the shape that they're going to be in?
Yeah, quite a few groups. I think one that stand out to me the most would probably be the quarterback room. I'm not really sure how you feel about this one, but I feel like we got two really good leaders and two guys who really was able to take their time and study for a few years and understand what it takes to be a champion. Quarterback is by far the leader on your team. So to have two guys that's able to rally a team and be able to pull them back together, I think that's a credit to those two guys, and we'll just see how it moves from here.
I would agree with that. The only thing I would say about the quarterbacks as far as the workouts are concerned, I don't think Kyle Trask physically and just where he's at as far as developing his body is really hurting all that much by missing spring. However, Emory Jones definitely, I think, is a guy that you're always wanting to still get him a little bit more pounds on that frame because of how he's used and his running ability. So I think wanting to get him in there in June and make sure that he's bulked up or as bulked up as he can be for the season, that's definitely something that I think that they're going to want to address. You know, offensive line, obviously, that's a position group that is still a work in progress. And I think from a development standpoint, physically, especially the younger linemen, having those guys being able to get back in the weight room in June is really critical. Coach Jay and I will break down what we feel like this starting five could look like with the addition of Stuart Reese a little bit later in this podcast. But I think that for those guys, and maybe a guy like Ethan White, he could really benefit, I think, every session that he can have, still trying to get to that ideal weight, because he's a guy that I look at as a starter for this season.
And again, I guess we'll talk about this a little more in depth further in the podcast, but this is a group that I actually kind of worry about outside of the starting five because they're also young. So they kind of need it the time that Corona took away from them, but they really need June 1st. Really need June 1st.
Especially like you mentioned, the younger guys and the players now that are going to be counted on for depth that last year were just able to redshirt and kind of sit back and learn the system and get their feet wet. So I think obviously, you know, the skills positions, maybe wanting to bulk up some of the younger tight ends, Keon Zipper, I think that this is going to be a really important offseason for him. But I think at the offensive line is, like you said, the one on the offensive side of the ball that in the weight room, they're going to really be happy that they can get those guys back. Moving over to the defensive side, you got some new pieces up front, but I still feel like they're in good shape as far as how far they've gotten those guys developed. When you look at guys like Zach Carter, T.J. Slayton, and where they were when they arrived on campus as freshmen and kind of how they bulked up under Nick Savage. So I think from a defensive line standpoint, you know, they're looking good. I want to see what Brenton Cox Jr. is going to look like once they get into fall camp. But still in the front seven, I would go with Mahmoud Diabate. I think that this June and this offseason is really critical for him from a developmental standpoint and being in the weight room, because this is a guy that there's a lot of buzz that he's going to make the move from being a guy that was playing on the outside and kind of rushing from the edge to potentially taking over for David Reese at middle linebacker. And if he does that, he's definitely going to have to bulk up so he can play in that middle. And I think that that's something that he'll want to address in June.
The defensive line I worry the least about, because coaching for one, and then the players that you have on the defensive line. Again, just like the offensive line, you kind of worry about the guys behind that core rotation. You worry about those younger guys like Dexter and Humphrey that really needed this spring and really need June 1st to, like, get their feet wet and start to show whatever they can show as far as weight room and other stuff, drills that they're going to be going through on that level.
I think as far as the last position group, the secondary, definitely the safeties, the guys that have to do all the tackling, any chance that you can get to bulk them up, to have them get some added weight and strength is really important. That's still, I think, one of the weak spots in Florida's defense. So that's something that's going to still have to get shored up. And I think that being back in June and having those guys in the weight room is going to help with that. But trying to assess where the secondary is at from a safety standpoint and just the whole group in general, I think that's going to be something we find out more in fall camp. They're going to be fine at cornerback. I mean, it's just a matter of who kind of steps up at star and then how things shake out at safety.
I agree pretty much. Everything I just said about the defensive line is totally opposite about the safety. I worry about that group the most. And I said that the coaching of the defensive line was one of the things that made me not worry about the defensive line group. Well, coaching is one of the things that I worry the most about the safeties with. And it's not so much so the X's and the O's part of it, but more of the rotation and the key of sending the right player in at the right time and just little stuff that make you win and lose on the back end. So I really hope those guys take this time serious, and not just this time, but even during the corona, trying to stay ahead, because we needed it. The safety position, again, and you heard me say this before, is the reason why we were not in the playoffs.
Going into fall camp, that's why we've talked about, and fans expect that you're going to see some shakeups there. And it's going to be interesting to watch that play out. But at the end of the day, now I've said this since the pandemic went into effect and everybody's been questioning the impact this time off could have on the football season and all the contenders. I still feel like, and it's obviously going to be determined once we get on the field, but I still feel like Florida is in better shape than most teams in the SEC and certainly most teams on their schedule to kind of handle this dilemma that everyone's went through because of the starters that they still have coming back. And they just have enough pieces, and this is year three of Dan Mullen's program, that I don't think they're going to have as many setbacks as maybe some other schools.
Yeah, at Florida State, they got to change the mind state from dancing in practice to actually chasing the football.
Yeah, man, and the way things are going right now at Florida State and also with Miami, I mean, it's an opportunity for Florida and the Sunshine State.
I want to take this time to tell you all about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. It's a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. There's 16 amazing flavors. All of them are covered in 100% chocolate, and they even have some nut-free flavors. They're soft and easy to chew, and the best thing about them is that they're healthy. If you're trying to lose or maintain weight, you can do it by indulging on this delicious treat. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber bars. My personal favorite is the peanut butter brownie that has 20 grams of protein and is only 170 calories. There's a bunch of other great flavors like mint brownie that are perfect for your diet. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off of your first order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off of your order at builtbar.com.
Before we get into that, I do want to address the addition of Stuart Rees as we're speaking with Coach Jay to get his thoughts on what this means for the unit up front and kind of where Rees fits in, because I think that this is a guy, obviously, that could play tackle or guard. He's a three-year starter at Mississippi State. He knows Dan Mullen's system, and I think he's going to be able to really just fit in where they feel like he's needed most and wherever their weakest spots are.
I think Rees is definitely going to be a wild card, and a lot of people expected him to come in and play guard. I see something a little bit different. It's up to the coaches, honestly, but I felt like when he was at Mississippi State and Coach Hevesy was his coach, he excelled at tackle. Once Hevesy left Mississippi State, he bounced inside. So, I mean, I guess they have to go back and they have to look and reevaluate it, but he was a super talent at tackle. And we got a weak link at tackle.
And like Rees, they got a guy in Garage who can also play tackle and guard. And I think that he's the one that's interchangeable. You're going to have Stone Forsythe as one of your starting tackles, Peggy as your starting center. I think Ethan White as one of your starting guards. Wherever they put Rees and wherever they put Garage is kind of going to determine how that line shakes out. So, you know, with Garage, he did some really good things at guard when he got those opportunities. I think that tackle is maybe his future and where he's going to be projected at the next level. But given the work and the experience that he's already had at guard, and like you said, the fact that Rees has had a better history playing tackle, I mean, that could be the outcome that we see once fall camp comes around.
Yeah, I feel like Garage did pretty good on the inside. He was a lot better guard than he was tackle. And you could think back to his recruitment when Florida was really recruiting him, Garage actually looked really good at guard. It was just when they bounced him outside to try to see if he could hold his own at tackle is when he started to look a little shaky again.
I definitely think that Stone Forsythe has been solid as a tackle, and I think Heggie's makes the most sense at center given his background. So, man, the addition of Rees really kind of changes the outlook of this offensive line. They still got to develop the depth behind that starting five and figure out who they can count on, and they're too deep. But they have the numbers, and now they have enough starters and guys that know Dan Mullen and John Hevesy's system that I do think that they're going to have a chance to make a jump as a unit this year. And credit to John Hevesy and Dan Mullen for being able to bring Rees on board. I think that it kind of made a lot of sense for both parties. But at the end of the day, especially with the transfer portal becoming as big as it is, you got to be able to take advantage of that when guys put their name in. And every offseason, we've seen this staff do that, and Rees is the latest addition.
And I want to hit on something real quick. Everybody rag Hevesy as a coach and as a recruiter. I want to be the first one to say Hevesy did not do a bad job at either one, coaching or recruiting. If you think back, we were one of the top teams, not just the SEC, but college football, at passing the ball. That means they were able to keep Trask up at pass blocking. It was run blocking that was the problem, and I wouldn't necessarily say that was all their fault. The backs was coached a little different. They were a little too patient and pressed for the hole a little too much for my liking instead of just hitting the hole and go. Every time Emory got in and Emory ran the ball, he was able to hit it and he was able to go. He was always making positive yards. Here, another one. He was always getting positive yards, but that was because he was getting the ball and he was just going. P. Ryan was a little more patient. He was pressing a little too much. I don't know if that was coaching or that was him. Or
I think part of it, too, was him adjusting to a brand-new offensive line.
And that could be so, but when you have Emory come in and he always getting positive yards, you can't necessarily rag the offensive line coach for that. Because somebody's rushing for positive yards, it's just not the running back. And then even go back to recruiting that he just keeps getting nailed for. Now, a lot of it don't work out, like Walker, whatever the case was with him. We got him in. That was a really good, talented offensive lineman. Everything is not about a four-star guy or a five-star guy. Now, we do need to get some five-star, real five-star guys, some supreme talent guys on the offensive line. But we're getting good guys. Like, Minty, in my opinion, is one of the best offensive line that we could offensive linemen that we could have got. And we got Walker, Braun. Braun was another one. Like, recruiting stuff happens. Coaches leave all the time. And you can stay in touch with that kid, and when something like that happens, you can bring that kid in. That's a plus for that coach. So I don't think Hevesy should take as much flat as he really is about his coaching and about his recruiting, because he's actually doing a really good job.
I wrote a piece on GatorsTerritory.com after the Gators landed Adrian Strickland, which was the 10th three-star lineman that they've landed since John Hevesy returned to UF. And it made me think, well, I wonder how he's done with the three-star offensive lineman that he's landed in the past. And you go back and dig into his history at Mississippi State, and it's not just the three-star linemen that were his biggest success stories, although he had several. It was the two-star prospects that he signed, one of which was a second-round draft pick. So you look back at what he's done, and I think it was 7 out of the 9 years he had an all-SEC selection. I mean, this is a guy that has a proven track record. He knows how to develop offensive linemen regardless of the star rating. And I think the thing that's most important, I think most valuable, especially for Dan Mullen, is that he knows the system. He knows the type of offensive lineman needed to run that system and make it work. So to have him in control, I know they're really young. I know that there's a lot of guys that still need to come along, but he's the guy for the job, and he's going to be able to get that thing going. And he proved that in 2018. That was a unit that had struggled with the guys that were starters throughout their career. They had been inconsistent. They had up and down careers. And by the end of that 2018 season, Florida rattled off all those games in a row where they had over 200 yards rushing. And that was a direct effect of the coaching that they got from John Hevesy. So I think it's just a matter of time, and I think the addition of Reese is going to definitely help bring that along.
That was a good piece, by the way. That was really informative and a really good write-up that you did on that article too, man.
The Bulldogs were leading the SEC in fewest sacks allowed John Hevesy's last season, and there was two stars on that starting five. So I just think from the lowest guys on the totem pole to the top prospects like a Stuart Reese, who was a four-star, and Richard Garage, he really knows how to get those guys to come along, and I think that this season is going to be a big step in that direction.
The difference between, if I could say this, between Mississippi State and University of Florida is, at Mississippi State, they can get those guys, and they can convince them to stay for 5 years. We're going to develop you for 2.5 to 3 years. At Florida, you can't do that. So he kind of got to think a little different as far as how he recruits those linemen. Walker, for example, Braun is another one. You're not going to be able to keep those guys for 5 years. They're either 3 or 4 and out. That's just the nature of the beast at being a coach at the University of Florida.
We're speaking with Coach Jay as we get to our final segment on the state of recruiting, which is a topic that I always love to address with him. And it's been, I think, something that Florida fans have like to debate about the last few weeks. I think with the pandemic going on, that everybody's a little quarantine crazy. And right now you look at Florida's 2021 class on Rivals.com, they're ranked number 5 nationally. They have more commits than a lot of their other SEC foes and in-state schools that they go up against on the recruiting trail. So But yet you talk to a lot of Florida fans that follow recruiting. They're either not happy with the class or not happy with a certain position or position coach, and it gets a little tiring. It seems like it's something that comes along every offseason, and I have to tell fans, just wait until National Signing Day when all the dust settles, and we'll see what the results are. But, you know, we've already hit on this class a little bit earlier in the cycle. I want to get your thoughts on what you like about it and maybe some spots where you still feel like they're coming up short.
It's a good class, but it could be elite. It's a top five class right now because of the number. Once everybody else's numbers start growing, then we'll see how far this class actually sinks. But it's a good class that could be elite if they didn't have so many misses on kids that they really should have. And that's my problem. And not just kids that they should have, but I'm still looking for positions that's going to be a crazy need in the near future.
The one that's been highlighted the most is the running back spot, which we'll get into. But before we go through all that, I mean, let's just hit the positions that I feel like aren't even worth discussing. I mean, you can't complain about the quarterback recruiting. You can't complain about the defensive line recruiting. I don't think that you can complain about the linebacker recruiting. You look at the numbers and the type of talent that Christian Robinson's gotten at that spot, I think they've done a really good job. And Torian Gray, with the cornerbacks that he's recruited and also developed from his time at Florida, he's done a really good job with that position. The spots that we hear the most complaints about are running back, wide receiver, offensive line, and safety. We've already addressed the offensive line, given our thoughts on that. But as far as the running back position is concerned, it is alarming that they weren't able to get a guy this past class. They had a chance to sign their first five-star recruit since Theatric Faison in Zach Evans. They don't make that happen, but they still get a five-star talent in Lorenzo Lingard as a transfer. So it was, you got all your hopes up for one five-star talent that you didn't get, but you still added a guy that was that talented to your roster, even though it be a transfer, which I think people don't like to give them as much credit for if they don't get a high school prospect versus a transfer, which that's another conversation. But whatever you want to say about the running back misses and certainly the guys in the state of Florida that they've had a chance to get, that they've targeted and didn't land, it's not like they're hurting in the immediate future at that position.
I agree with that, but my gripe, more or less, with the running back recruiting is not just recruiting, it's actually coaching too. Not saying Knox is a bad coach, but last year the running backs did a bad job. Now, not getting any of the backs that went after last year, kind of like, whoa, like, we got to at some point land a high school running back. Now, we got Naquan, but we have to land a high school running back that's elite eventually. We can't settle. Every elite running back that we've targeted so far under Knox, we haven't gotten. So that's my problem with that as far as recruiting goes. And just the coaching of the back, I felt, wasn't that good last year. I would have definitely liked to see them do some stuff a little bit different, the rotation done a little bit different. Just a lot of stuff about the running back last year that kind of nicked me off. But that ain't the position that nicked me off the most on the team, but definitely right up there with it.
I think the one thing that frustrated a lot of Florida fans, Coach Jay, is that there aren't many five-star running back recruits that come through the state of Florida. There are only a handful every single recruiting cycle, and most of the time those guys are spread out all over the country. So when you have two in your own state back-to-back years and they have ties to the program, you feel like you got a good shot at landing them, and it doesn't happen, that's something that fans don't forget. And they won't let it go until Florida lands a running back recruit of that caliber. And I do mention Lorenzo Lingard because he was a five-star recruit. He was the number two back in the country in his cycle. And if he comes in and lives up to that billing and ends up being this huge addition to Florida's backfield, I think that Greg Knox and this staff need to get credit for that. Because the one thing as we go into the wide receiver position that I think that this staff doesn't get the props that they deserve is how they've navigated the transfer portal. There's been no other set of coaches that have done the job that Dan Mullen and his staff have done. Every offseason, Florida's gotten some of the top guys, whether they were grad transfers or whether they got waivers immediately, and they're going to have an opportunity once again to do it in 2020 with guys like Brenton Cox Jr. and Lorenzo Lingard and Justin Shorter. Now, you look at Shorter and Jordan Pouncey as well, those guys are coming in to try and help with the numbers at wide receiver, and that's another position that gets criticism in recruiting, but you look at what they did with Grimes and Van Jefferson, and then Justin Shorter and Jordan Pouncey, whatever receivers might get missed on from the high school ranks, Florida and Billy Gonzalez and Dan Mullen have been able to go out there and make up for it and still have a really, really good passing game. And I think as long as those results keep happening, it's kind of hard to get mad about wide receiver recruiting when Florida's putting up nearly 3,000 yards. You look at what they got this past class. They went out and signed two All-American type receivers in Henderson and Frazier. So I think from a production standpoint and with all the pieces that have been added by Billy Gonzalez, whether they were a transfer or a high school prospect, the heat that he gets, I kind of feel a little bit how you feel about John Hevesy. Although that's not to say that he's still not missing out on some guys, but it's not like Florida is not getting any of those guys. I mean, to sign Jacob Copeland and to get him to recommit and to sign Xavier Henderson and Jaquavion Frazier, you got to include him in that group as well. I mean, those are three quality receivers. Had they gone out of state to a Clemson or an Alabama like Jacob Copeland, which was his second choice, that would have hurt Florida recruiting.
That's true. But you got to consistently land those guys. And that's what I was saying in the beginning of the podcast about being a good class as to elite class. If you land some of those guys that committed to Alabama and Oklahoma and other schools that's right here in your state right now, you're not complaining about a number five class in the country. You know what I mean? It's the number one class. It's just those elites. You got to have those guys, man. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got to do the same thing or recruit the same way these other guys are recruiting.
And that's something I've been harping on from the get-go once we've seen Alabama and Clemson raiding the state. I mean, you can't let that happen. Those schools are going to come in and land that type of talent, but you got to be able to go head-to-head with them and win the Jacob Copeland, Xavier Henderson type battles. And like you said, it just has to happen on a consistent basis, every cycle. The final spot, you've already addressed the concern you've had with safety in that position going into the season. What are your thoughts on where it's been at as a whole? I mean, Juan English got a lot of criticism on signing day when the Gators didn't land Avante Williams, even though Avante Williams wasn't recruited by Ron English. But that is a spot, as we said earlier, that just on the defensive side has been one of the weaker spots.
As a recruit, a former recruit, years and years ago, you always want to know you have a good relationship with your position coach because you know that's who you're going to spend the most time with. Keywan can have a great relationship with a kid, but if you don't have that relationship with that position, it's not going to happen. And that's what we're seeing with the two positions that we're not really landing the elites at, running back and at safety. Like, the kids aren't getting that relationship with the position coach. You can have other ties, but that relationship with your position coach matters a lot, man. Safety is a position that, again, we got to look at going into the season that could determine a lot for our football team. And then the safety spot, which hurt us big time last year, we need to fix that, man. It has to be fixed.
One thing that had to be fixed was athletes coming back to campus and things opening back up. And fortunately, things are heading back in that direction. And I'm glad that we could be joined by you once again, Coach Shea, to talk about all this, man, to look forward to football. Things are finally starting to get back in motion.
Time to get back to real life now. I'm ready, man. God bless.
And that'll do it for this edition of Locked On Gators. Make sure you all stay tuned to the latest episode next week.